This week's episode of Roboism is sponsored by Inventables, the hardware store for designers. Learn more about Carvy, their new 3D carving machine, at Inventables.com.
Thanks again to the Chicago Podcast Co-op for hooking up our sponsorships. You can learn more at ChicagoPodcastCoop.com. Hi, I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Savannah Million.
And this is Roboism. So this last week, some kind of crazy robot news came out. A robot passed the first self-awareness test.
And it's adorable.
No, it's not. It's horrible.
It's so cute.
No, but okay. So the thing behind this is did you watch the video?
Yeah. I know it was me now. It was me. I am the robot.
We'll put the video in show notes. But there's three robots, and they gave one robot the quote-unquote dumb pill, which was basically they pressed a button that made the robot work, and they asked them to stand up. Can you stand up? And one was like, I don't know. And when he but he says, I don't know. And
well, so all three of the robots tried to say, I don't know, but only one of them actually could. And they were programmed to, when they recognize that they can hear their own voices, to know that they were, that was the one that was not given the dumb pill, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as it heard its own voice, it's like, oh, I can stand up. I know it was me now who is not.
But then he says, like, I was not given the dumb pill. So it knows that they are calling it the dumb pill, which is really just an off button. Like, you could have said, I was not turned off. No, they say, I have not been given the dumb pill. And it's really sad.
It's so cute. I'm looking forward to the robots having being self-consciousness.
All right, if when the singularity occurs and people look back and when the robots and artificial
robots look back at the beginning,
they're like, why would you even do that to that cute little thing? I don't know if they'll think it's, I think they will think it's cute because they have a sense of empathy. Steve Wozniak, adorable man and co-founder of Apple, used to be afraid of robots, but now he has a more positive take on the singularity and thinks that robots will keep humans as pets. Like, they will see the utility of humans and keep us as pets.
Keep us around because we're so cute with all of our flaws.
And, yeah, they'll be like, all right, you can do, like, labor and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's very optimistic. I don't know about that.
He has the most positive view of a lot of people.
Kurzweil has a positive view of it.
Who has a positive view?
Ray Kurzweil. I'm not, like, super informed, but I think he wrote, like, books about singularity and stuff. And his whole view is, like, it'll either kill all of us or we'll all be immortal. And he's, like, optimistic about the immortality thing.
That's good.
Yeah. There's quite a few people that are optimistic about it that are, like, respected.
Stephen Hawking apparently told the BBC, the primitive forms of artificial intelligence we already have proved very useful, but I think the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, I mean, if the singularity thing actually happens, it's going to be the end of the human race in one way or another. Like, it'll either change us so completely that it'll be the end of whatever everything is as we know it, or we'll all die. So it's like, either way, it's fine. There's not really, you know, it's just whatever happens.
It'll be okay.
C'est la vie.
My favorite, though, is the founder of Tesla, Elon Musk, is, like, terrified of robots, which I find really strange because he's basically building a robot car. And the Tesla could drive itself if it wanted to. It's just not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very strange, I think.
Yeah.
He calls it summoning the demon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he, I'm not sure where he said this, and I'm reading this unsourced, I guess, but with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. In all those stories where there's the guy with the, I can't even read it, with the pentagram and the holy water, it's like, yeah, he's sure he controlled the demon. Doesn't work out. Which, like, it makes sense. It's just an interesting analogy.
No, totally. I mean, he has a very valid point of view on it, I think. The only point of view that's like very intelligent that I just don't get really is the people who think that all of the people that are talking or thinking about the whole singularity thing are just really dumb and uninformed, because there are like intelligent people out there who are like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, it's science fiction, it'll never happen. And I'm like, no, there's validity to this. Like, it's an important thing to talk about. We're all like building AI and everything is growing at an exponential rate, and I think it's a valid subject.
Do you think that like in the next few years people are going to start denying the validity of artificial intelligence, kind of like climate change? Like a bunch of Republicans are going to say, oh no, we don't need to worry about this. I feel like they're the first to go if the robots decide to murder us.
Yeah, I know. Like if they actually had to pick who was important to keep around, probably the non-believers. I don't know. No, I
don't know what they'd do with Dick Cheney.
I think if anything, people saying there are people that are like, this will happen in the next 10 years. Like it's like we're on the brink of it. And I don't know about that. I don't really necessarily think that it's going to happen anytime in our lifetimes. So I think that'll make it seem less of an actual thing that might happen.
I wonder if we're going to drown first or if the robots are going to come first.
I know, like we need to keep the goddamn climate in a better condition so we can live long enough to see the singularity people. This is world changing.
I would rather my children be murdered by robots than drown.
Yeah.
Oh man. I think in the next 10 years we are going to be able, I don't know, I'm really excited to be 35 and see if my home, if I'm going to have
a smart home.
Yeah. I mean, the office we work in is essentially a smart office. Like we have little schedules
on
the door.
Our refrigerator does have a Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah. And we had to bring someone, well, it's not a very good one. We had to bring somebody out to fix it. I don't know how smart the refrigerator is, but
our refrigerator in particular is not smart.
But it has Wi-Fi, and we still don't really know what the Wi-Fi does.
I don't know. You can connect to it though.
Yeah. Like
why?
I guess like if you really don't want to change the crushed ice to cubed ice button, then you can maybe do it on your phone from the Kenmore app.
I have noticed that it does have to warm up if you want to switch from cube to crushed. So maybe you can like, you're like anticipating it at your desk and you're like, oh, I want cubed this time and I got crushed last time. So I'm going to warm it up with my phone right now. Oh, never mind. It's a stupid fridge.
Well, that's the thing. Artificially intelligent beings are going to look back on this and be like, why would you do that? That's so stupid. You could have been developing us so much more quickly and have us do much more interesting things instead of this.
Yeah, I think one of the things holding us back is like the user experience of a smart fridge. Like what can it do that we're capable of doing well that wouldn't be weird and annoying? Like I'm thinking specifically, there's a scene in the movie The Stepford Wives, because they're all using smart homes and whatever robots, but there's a smart fridge and like she takes the milk out of it and the fridge immediately is like, need more milk or whatever. Like it just and it's like, okay, cool, smart fridge, but that's not that smart because clearly, you know, she just took it out to have a drink of it. So I don't know what I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of good ideas for smart refrigerators. I just don't know what any of them are.
I still don't understand why they would tell the robot that they gave it dumb pills. Like I don't know why it bothers me so much. Like I guess I have empathy for the cute little guy who stands up and is like, I wasn't given the dumb pill.
Like instead of just saying we didn't push this button on
you. Why would you do that? Like what's wrong with you?
It's probably some like science thing. Like it's just easier, the terminology for the scientists is easier to say like a placebo pill as opposed to like pushing a button. Like, it's just easier for them to talk about that way.
I don't, but I tried to find evidence to support that. If anybody out there knows why they had to say dumb pill, please let us know, because I can't figure out why, and the internet won't tell me why. And it makes me very, very sad. I hope that'll save me if the singularity is in our lifetime. Be like, hey, listen to this podcast and how much... Look at this. Listen to this totally irrelevant audio. And, well, oh, I wonder if robots will be able to consume audio at a much higher rate than humans. Like, they can listen to it at 10 times speed.
I would imagine so. I have a friend who listens to every podcast at 1.25 speed, so he can consume more podcasts in a shorter amount of time, which I find comical.
I listen at 1.5.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy to me, because it's like, I don't know, you're doing this to enjoy it.
I mean, it's the idea of, like, consuming more information, I think.
Yeah. I guess I don't see podcasts as information. I see them as entertainment. So maybe that's why.
They're both. Like, I'll listen to Invisibilia at one time speed because it is both extremely entertaining and extremely informative.
So there's a new robot sweeping the nation, almost literally. There's a robot called Hitchbot, and
it's not a broom. It's not literally.
literally, he's a sweeping robot. I'm just kidding.
That'd be kind of cool.
I would. Yeah, that's a Roomba. They have those. oh my God, we should talk about Roombas. Yeah. So Hitchbot is this hitchhiking robot that was made as a social experiment by some Canadians, I guess. And he is hitchhiking across the United States, and he has a bucket list, and he has a camera, and he has GPS on him. And the whole social experiment part was that we keep asking ourselves this question of, like, well, can we as humans trust robots? Which, valid question. But then these guys that made Hitchbot were like, well, can robots trust humans? So it's a kind of this thing to see if Hitchbot can, like, make it to all the places he wants to go and doesn't get, you know, destroyed or whatever. So, which is interesting and cool. And I was reading about Hitchbot. I started following him on Twitter, and then almost immediately I got followed by a parody bot of Hitchbot, and I'll leave out the handle because I don't really want to give it traffic, but it was like all of these, like, rude jokes about Hitchbot. Like, it wasn't...
Aww.
Yeah, and I was like, poor holy guy. Shit. I guess you just disproved the social experiment by, like, being... I don't know. It was stuff like... I don't even want to give an example. It was just, like, bad, gross jokes. Like, of course. But as far as I know, Hitchbot himself is actually doing okay, minus being harassed on Twitter.
I wonder, doesn't know that? Like, is the social experiment, like, does he also know what's going on the internet? Or does he just register, like, what's happening in real life to him?
Yeah, so he tweets and stuff. And I'm not sure how, like, he can also hold basic, like, little conversations. He'll answer questions and stuff. But I don't know how much of, like, his tweets are... like him composing them or humans. I would imagine they're humans, but he does, like, auto tweet photos, I think, every once in a while. And yeah, he like auto posts to stuff, so everyone can kind of see where he is, which I guess is how you would know if somebody made off with him.
It doesn't look like he's gotten very far. Did he start in... it looks like he started in Boston or somewhere, yeah, in New England, and he did this weird little, like, and he is gendered as male, right? I'm looking, yeah, yeah, at his Twitter feed, and he's a he.
Yeah,
And he's kind of, like, zigzagging, which I guess is the part of, like, he's hitchhiking, but he doesn't seem to have made it really out of New England at this point, which,
no.
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. Like, maybe he's having a lot of positive interactions, but...
Yeah, I mean, he's relatively new, I think. He has this, like, list with him, though, of all the things that he wants to do, and I know he's gotten a couple of them, just that I've seen from following.
Good for him.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he's just new to the U.S. Maybe he's traveled across other places. Yeah, he's traveled through Canada a bit. He's got a cute little face.
I feel like he'd be much more successful in Canada.
Those Canadians sure are nicer than us.
Canadians, I think, are less likely to harass an adorable robot.
Yeah, so I was wondering, because like you said, they have gendered Hitchbot, as a male, do you think that Hitchbot would be treated differently if she were a she?
I don't think if there's a female Hitchbot that she would make it very far without horrible sex jokes and rape jokes,
yeah,
and like people doing, like taking her and doing terrible things, and maybe they'd let her go on her way, but that's a really like horrifying thing to think about.
I think it's really unfair too that Hitchbot can like safely hitchhike across the United States, and that's something I would be way too terrified to ever try,
right? Like yeah, I mean, even like, even if it looked exactly the same, but like would tweet as a female instead of like this rugged guy going across the country. It's like the whole walking at night thing. Like,
yeah,
it's really gross, but I think you're right. It would be it definitely would be different.
Yeah. Like, can robots trust humans? I don't know. Can women trust humans?
I think lady robots have just as much trust in humans as lady humans do.
Probably.
So. That's unfortunate, but I'm rooting for Hitchbot. I hope he makes it.
I do too. Any success of a robot is a success for roboism, I think.
I agree.
Okay, so don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We are at RoboismCast. We also have a website, which is roboism.fm, where we post all the episodes and the show notes that you can read. We're also super, super grateful for Inventables, our sponsor for this podcast, which is actually very relevant to robots. If you're into like cool tech things and like DIY stuff, you should definitely look at their products.
I hope we get to meet Carvey one day.
Yeah.
The carving.
Maybe can we interview Carvey?
I would love that. And he would just carve out answers for us.
Oh my God, that would be great.
That sounds like a very expensive but wonderful interview.
We'd have so many souvenirs afterwards, though.
Also, thank you to the Chicago Podcast Co-op. Another show that we really like is
I Disagree But with... So this is actually a really cool show because Whitaker Trabella and Bryce Pulse have both programmed AI versions of themselves that are programmed to disagree with each other on every subject. And then they have these two AIs talk on their podcast. So every time they accidentally end up agreeing, it's like glitches out and they have to shut down the whole thing and start over. It's really entertaining. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, normally Whit and Bryce actually agree about everything in real life, so it's a really cool experiment.
Yeah, give it a listen. I'm Savannah Million.
And I'm Alex Cox.
And this has been Roboism.
Thank you for listening. Beep. Someone help me, someone save me, I look something I should have never known. I'm not human, I'm not breathing, I need someone, someone to show me that. Hey there, madam, can you tell me, am I handsome or will you turn me down? I'm not really that appealing, but I promise I'll never. My life.
that's been free my life. I have places to go, people to see. I should be optimistic.